It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. And what's up, baseball fans? And welcome to season number 6, episode number 10 of the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, yours truly. And of course, my man, the man with plethora of baseball knowledge. He has a cranial vault that doesn't fit through the door because there's so much baseball knowledge in there. But once again, the baseball fanatic, and it's all brought to you by Coach's Corner because we're all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. And it's great to be in here with you. And I know PPD last week because of the hurricane, but you know what? I know he's biting at the bit. He's chewing on a baseball right now because he's drooling to talk baseball, I think because his Cubbies are back in the race. But anyway, joining us now on the Coach's Corner hot seat, the man himself, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. What's up, baseball fanatic?
Hey, Coach, good to see you. Yeah, I mean, geez, injuries, surgeries, a little bit of a hurricane, but we're back at it, episode number 10. I'm in the middle of a fantasy football draft, but I've set it on auto draft because guess what? It's time to talk baseball. It's my favorite time of the year. It's the pennant race. Let's go. Let's get it started.
All right, we play 4 innings. The first inning, we go around the horn. That means we go through all the divisions. We talk quickly about the standings, throw a little spice into it. We'll talk about who's hot and who's not. Then we'll talk about the Major League Baseball announced their players of the week. I was shocked because I thought a Brave would get it. Okay. Then we go to inning number 2. It's always Braves talk. We're chopping on the Braves. Injuries, pitching staff. Will they be the overall number 1 team in the playoffs in the National League, that is? Okay. And then we'll get to inning number 3. Got to talk still about those local players. They're still playing baseball over there in Japan, and the minor league baseball league is in their playoffs, and we still had one guy that finished out there. And then we'll go to the Savannah Bananas. They got 4 or 5 games left. They played 82 games so far. They got 5 games. We'll talk about that, and then we'll talk about a little baseball trivia in inning number 4, because for the first time in 6 seasons, the coach is in first place. He's 5-4 against the baseball fanatic. Baseball fanatic has never been on the losing end with a 4-5 record. But you know what? I like that white and blue flag that's in the middle of my yard out here on Wilmington Island. You got to love it.
You got to love it, coach. And, hey, you earned every one of those victories. I've been tough on you. You've been tough on me. And you have finally cracked the code. And you've won some ball games. But, hey, let's face it. There's a lot of good pennant races out here. And it ain't over until it's over in this trivia race.
Hey, that's my man, Yogi. It ain't over till it's over. You know, that's like Yogi said, what happens when you come to the fork in the road?
Take it.
Pick it up.
Yeah, pick it up. Oh, you don't look so hot in your summer suit. Thanks. You don't look so hot either.
Hey, you know what? I did that last year. It's just deja vu. You know what I mean? So
all over again.
So, all right, let's start out, of course, with around the horn. Inning number 1, let's start, of course, in the junior circuit. We start out here in East, in the AL East. So, I mean, you know, Baltimore's hanging on. 3.5 games above the Devil Rays. Okay, that's Tampa Bay, that is. Okay, Toronto's hanging in there, but I think they're just a little too far of it. Braves over 500. Yankees are back to 500. So, probably the only division that has all 5 teams, 500 or better, right?
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, Baltimore continues to play really good baseball. Tampa Bay is still staying in the mix right now. The only challenger in that really talented East, although Toronto, you know, they're still making a push in the wild card. Baltimore still holds all the chips right now. They are currently, 3.5 game lead over the Rays.
And I guess you would say they're hot, right? And who's not?
I would have to say who is not. Yankees have been playing some good ball lately. The Red Sox have really struggled lately.
Yeah, I thought they were going to have a shot at making a good run at that wild card, but the Red Sox are choking. The Yankees
still
are
in the mix.
All right, so quickly, Cashman gone? Aaron Boone gone?
That's really tough, and Hal Steinbrenner has really stated his loyalty to Boone. He doesn't want to let him go. Brian Cashman's done some great things for the Yankees. You know about bringing them back to the relevance of the 90s and the 2000s, but it's been since 2009, and everybody in the Bronx is getting a little bit nervous and a little bit tired of it.
The Yankee fans are tired of Brian Cashman. It's time to go. We need some new blood, something new that's going to happen to the Yankees. That's what I hear from all my Yankee fans, okay? So that's what I like to see. So Baltimore, the hottest team in the AL East. All right, AL Central, probably the worst division in baseball, but
easily.
Minnesota Twins are hanging in there, 73-67. They got a six-game over Cleveland. Tito just can't keep that team together because they're doing a fire sale there too, right?
Yeah, it looks like, not much is going on. I really thought Cleveland would hang on towards the end, but they are starting to fall back. And Tito Francona has hinted that, hey, his body and his mind's telling him, hey, this is probably it for me. He's done a great job keeping Cleveland relevant the last decade here. But the Twinkies found a way to keep on going and pull away. They're easily the most talented team in this division. I could tell you who's cold in the division, but it's pretty much every team in the division. Man alive, that's a bad division. Cleveland continues to do just fine. They fell apart. They're done.
Yeah.
This is going to be it's done. It's done. Yogi Berra just called, hey, it's over. But the Twinkies are going to win this comfortably. There you go. I got no more for the AL Central.
Yeah, neither do I. There's no hot, there's no cold. It's just the Twins holding on to hopefully, get that number one spot from the Central, which means they'll get a bye in the playoffs, won't they?
Well, actually, they're probably they would certainly be the third seed right, with the lowest record right now. But yeah, they would win the division comfortably, and I think that's what they're going to do. I think only 85 wins is probably going to do it.
And they're the closest to it. So,
right. Oh, my gosh.
Let's stay out. Let's go out to the left coast. That's, of course, the West Coast and the AL West. Houston back on top, but Seattle and Texas not giving it up. So, Houston has a one-game lead over Seattle, a two-game lead over Texas. All three teams, while the hottest team right now has been Houston, Seattle's 500, Texas has gone 4-6, so I would say, for me, the hottest team right now has to go with the Astros. And didn't Altuve hit 5 home runs in 2 days?
I was about to say, the longest-serving Astro does it again. And, Houston, they were just sitting there. It just, the sleeping giant, all they needed was somebody to poke them. They're back, and they're back in a big way. One of the most fun division races in baseball right now. You got two other teams that are within a game or two. It's going to be a dogfight to the end. Seattle, 5-5 over the last 10. They've dropped 3. But guess what? Houston's been 7-3 over the last 10, won 3 in a row, and the Rangers have dropped 2. It's a 3-team race, but the Astros have been there, and they know how to win it. I really want to see Seattle make a run at this. It is going to be a fun race to the finish line out in the West. It's easily the most fun race in the entire American League.
All right, I'm going to throw this right now. So the MLB named the AL Player of the Week. Go ahead. I'm going to butcher that name, so you got it.
Yeah, it's from the, once again, underachieving Los Angeles Angels, Luis Rengifo, 440 batting average. He's got his overall week. It looks like he's got, 1.207 in his on-base plus slugging. If those of you scoring at home, that's really good. He's got 3 bombs and 7 RBIs in 6 games.
So, yeah, there's no doubt about it when you're batting 440. I thought Marcelo Zuna would have a shot, but not with those numbers, even though he's hit since June 6th, Marcelo Zuna is hitting 370.
But that's true. But I'm talking about the American League now.
Yeah, I know.
You could certainly make a case for it.
Era, E1, era for the coach, first one of the night.
I got to do it. I'm sorry.
We were doing the AL. No, you're right. You're right. I jumped the gun because I was drooling at the NL. So we're staying out
there you go.
On the West Coast, and the West is over. Your lovely bride from California who loves the Dodgers can rest easy until we get to the playoffs. Because LA's 13.5 games in front of Arizona. nobody in that division over the last week has been hot. I know LA's lost a couple in a row there, right? So, or they win one, they lose two, they win two. So really, I mean, there's no hot team out there for me.
No, there really isn't. I got to tell you, I mean, Arizona, they're still a solid team. They're in the wild card mix, but they're 3-7 in their last 10. And yes, my beautiful bride loves her Dodgers, as you just said. And yeah, they're the class of the West. Easily, they have the second best record in the National League. Now, right behind the Atlanta Braves, they continue to just stay solid. Yeah, they dropped one last night, of course, to the struggling St. Louis Cardinals. Wouldn't worry about that too much. Arizona's cooled off considerably, even though they're still in the wild card race. And San Francisco just got swept by my streaking Chicago Cubs. Dodgers, yep, you're going to win this division once again, and we'll see what happens when you get to October.
And Arizona and San Francisco are looking in because Arizona and Miami only half game out of the wild card third spot. San Francisco, even though they got swept by your Cubbies, they're only out by 2.5, so we still got the whole month of September to go here, buddy. So we got to see what happens. Okay, all right.
He's drooling
because the Cubbies are hot. Okay, the Cubbies are hot. They're making a run at it. They're giving the Milwaukee Brewers a little trouble. They're only a game and a half out. Cubs are 7-3 on the last 10 games. Milwaukee's 5-5. But hey, there's a spoiler sitting at the bottom of that division, buddy, and they're called the Pittsburgh Steelers, era number two. I'm thinking about NFL tomorrow night, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, I got to say, boy, did they really help the Cubs out today. They found a way to win another ball game against the Milwaukee Brewers today. The two-day games, of course, I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, hey, we got a tie ball game here between Milwaukee and Pittsburgh here as the Cubs were getting going, and Pittsburgh pulled away. That's what's great. There's always spoilers out there. And, yeah, Pittsburgh found a way to steal a game from Milwaukee and making that margin of error really tough for the Brewers as they're only a game and a half ahead of the Cubs.
And I wouldn't say this. I didn't think I was going to say this for a long time, but you love it because the St. Louis Cardinals, the Cardinals, are the losers of that Central Division right now. They're in last place, 60-78. So.
Yeah, that's a full sell-off right there. They clearly did that. John Mozeliak said, yeah, we're done with this, and we're going to move on. But, you know, it's not Schadenfreude, which is German for shameful joy. I call it Cardenfreude, you know, which is my shameful joy for the Cardinals. Sorry, I'm a Cubs fan. They just battered my team for the majority of my life, and I'm getting to enjoy this a little bit. Really fun race between Milwaukee and the Cubs.
And the Cubbies and the Pirates are the hot team in the Central, which the Cubbies would love the Pirates to help them out as a spoiler. Okay, last division, first inning. We're going around the horn. We're talking about the NL East. Once again, the Braves and the Dodgers are clear cut. I think the Braves only need 10 games as the magic number to clinch it. So there's nobody else in that division. Philadelphia, Miami are fighting for the wild card spot. The Mets are the Mets. They're just trash this year. So, I mean – who's hot for me? Of course, Atlanta, but Philadelphia, Miami, it's going to be a great battle for that wild card spot.
Yeah, because really you got Miami Marlins on the outside looking in. Philadelphia still hanging on with a one game, at least a one game lead, I think one and a half game lead. Yeah, one game over the Cubs right now for that top wild card spot at 76-62. You know, Schwarber continues to hit bombs. And how about it? Trey Turner is the National League Player of the Week. He hits .423, an OPS of 1.695, six bombs, 14 RBIs. He struggled so much this year. He had five straight games with a home run over this last week. And, I mean, the Philly fans have taken a shine to him. And, you know, he even sent out an apology to the Philly fans earlier in the season, actually just a few weeks ago, you know, after he signed that massive contract. And yeah, he finally figured it out. And he's healthy. I think that's a big thing. He's been a real catalyst over the last week to 2 weeks for Philadelphia. Player of the Week award, well-deserved. Even though Ronald Acuna, he's been killing it. That guy's special.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's definitely going to be a 30-70 guy, maybe even a 40-70 guy. You know that.
Yeah, he's very close. He's got over 30 home runs, and he's got over 60 stolen bases. That right there is something you don't see a lot. I love all the stolen bases in Major League Baseball this year. he continues to seek it out. Yeah, I think 40-70 is a real likelihood for Mr. Acuña.
All right. Well, hey, buddy, 15 minutes, inning number one in the books.
I like it.
So the hottest team in baseball, though, for you is who?
Hottest team in baseball? I mean, that's pretty tough, right? Yeah, I was about to say the Cubs are red hot right now. There's several teams that are really hot right now, taking advantage of the schedule, but there's going to be some difficult games coming up here. But there's three really good races you need to follow if you're listening right now. The AL East is a lot of fun. The AL West, that is easily the most fun race in the American League. And, of course, the Central, as we mentioned, only a 1.5 game gap between the Brewers and the Cubs.
So we'll see what happens. So that's inning number one in the books of the Who's on First Base Baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. And it's brought to you by who, buddy?
I do believe the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
You got it. And remember, every Saturday, well, they took a break last week because it was the first day of college football, the real first big weekend of college football. So they took off. They'll be back Saturday night on the Soundgarden stage. And I know you like this music. It's the Yacht Club music.
Ah, that should be a good one. Yeah, the little sit back, listen to some nice soothing yacht rock. That's a good time. And, man, they've been there throughout the summer, and they're a lot of fun.
And it's 5 o'clock somewhere, buddy. May you rest in peace.
Yeah, that's a tough one to lose, Mr. Buffett. Always enjoyed his music and big Cubs fan. He was the first concert act at Wrigley Field, and my parents were there, I believe, back in 2003 or 4.
Nice. All right, so that's inning number one in the books. Let's go to inning number two. It's time to chomp on the Braves. Da, 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 da. Well, FSU uses that song, too. We got two hot teams with Indian names, Florida State University Seminoles and the Atlanta Braves, but nobody's saying that's wrong.
Yeah, that's a lot to delve in right there. But, yeah, of course. But it's time to chop on the Braves.
All right, so let's start with the first topic. Let me find it, okay? Here it is. So the Braves, once again, 7-3. They have lost to the Cardinals. You know, I've read something. The Cardinals, since Truist Park has been open, are 17-17 against the Braves at Truist Park. Cardinals like Truist Park.
They certainly do, but I also think it's just the randomness of it. But, I mean, this is not a good Cardinals ball club. We've talked about that considerably right now. The Braves hit four bombs last night, and the Cardinals still managed to find a way to snuff it out. And I think that's a little bit due to a couple injuries that happened, and we'll get to that in a minute here. But, boy, do we have a good one right now going on, getting ready to start tonight. Looks like we got Spencer Strider, our ace, going tonight against Dakota Hudson for the Cardinals.
And Spencer Strider, isn't he going like for his 250th strikeout tonight?
Yes, he's getting very close to getting that. I mean, that would be absolutely huge to get that. He's a strikeout machine, leads the National League comfortably in that category.
I mean, that's unbelievable. 250 strikeouts, and we still got, what, three or four more starts to go?
Easily. He should be able to wrap it up. This is a big one. They want to find a way to win this and find a way to take the rubber game tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, what can you say? The Braves continue to stay hot. They're 90-47. They're the best team in baseball. They basically locked up that that NL East. Strider, can you look at some of the
Strider only needs five more tonight for 250.
Yeah, he might be able to get that by the fifth inning.
Yeah. So go ahead. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, all I was saying is we just talk about it every week. This team, 1-9, is one of the scariest lineups you will ever see. Yes, you can find ways to beat them on certain days, but 9 times out of 10, this team's going to get you. Olsen's got 45 bombs. We're looking at the 30-60 club with Mr. Acuña, who's probably going to end up with 40-70. Strider is looking for that first he's 16-4 right now, looking for that Cy Young award right now, and he's certainly in the mix, and he will get a ton of votes. They got three games against St. Louis, obviously Strider tonight. What you need to do right now, and this is what I'm sure Brian Snitker is focusing on with his guys, find a way to stay healthy, because you have to find a way to clinch home field advantage. That's really the only thing they've got left to play for these last 3 weeks.
Hey, you're doing a perfect segue here. You did it in the first inning. You do it in the second inning, which brings us to Braves injuries, right? Soroka, McHugh placed on the injured reserve list. Sharonis, how do we say his name?
Sharonis? Oh, you're talking about
Yanni.
I'm sorry?
Yanni, how do we say his last name? Chironis?
Chirinos.
Chirinos, okay. He's placed on the 60-day injured list. I want to say disabled list, but we're not allowed to say that anymore. I said it. So, I mean, go ahead. You had some interesting news about the injuries for the Braves.
Well, of course, Mike Soroka really struggled last night. He's going to go on the 15-day injured list. He's got some forearm inflammation. You could see it last night. Obviously, he gave up some runs early. Colin McHugh, another right-hander, came in, also heading to the injured list. He's got some shoulder inflammation. And it's really unfortunate for Mike, because he's a really talented pitcher. The injury bug has bit him. He obviously had the Achilles issue. He finally gets back healthy, trying to find a way to be one of the top five in that Braves rotation, and he just can't stay healthy. Corresponding moves, right-handers, Ben Heller, who's been up with the club along with Darius Fiennes, up from the AAA Gwinnett Stripers. And I feel like you're going to see a lot of guys from the Stripers actually come in to help out in the bullpen and in the rotation a little bit. As Brian Snitker said earlier this week, I'm okay with mixing and matching for that fifth starter role. I feel like it's not even really the fifth starter role. They've mixed and matched for the fourth and fifth, you know, but they've been really lucky in the last month and a half to finally have Max Fried healthy along with Spencer Strider and Charlie Morton.
Yeah, and, you know, I love it. I think Morton pitched the last game of the Dodgers series, okay? The Braves were going for a four-game sweep. He loses 3-1. And you listen to these broadcasts on the Braves networks and how, oh, Charlie didn't have it. He lost 3-1. He was pitching great. But because the bats weren't there, Charlie Morton wasn't pitching good enough. I mean, I just don't know what Charlie Morton has to do to fall in the graces of these great Atlanta Braves, host. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
How many innings did he go? Did he go six innings?
He went six
innings. Six innings?
Yeah.
He went six. You know what that's called? That's called a quality start. Guess what? The bats weren't out there right now. Right. What are you going to say? I wouldn't say that. That's not how I would voice that. He threw a quality start. The bats didn't back him up. He has been a stalwart all season. The guy's 39, and he continues to go out there and give you a quality season when he's healthy. He's certainly done that. I don't read anything into this. The big thing for me this month, stay healthy. And guess what? We got some interesting series that actually have some divisional implications. We got home and away against the Phillies, including a doubleheader, a four-game series coming up. You got Miami away and Washington away. I know Washington's really not that scary, but it is a divisional team that you faced a lot of NL East matchups because of the unbalanced schedule. And I don't think that'll really play a factor into the Braves getting that home field advantage or getting the top seed in the National League, but it does make it interesting.
Well, once again, third error of the night, so I've got three errors tonight. He only went four innings, but he gave up six hits, gave up two earned runs, struck out three, and walked three. I mean, and his ERA for a guy that's 39 is 3.32. I mean, what more do you want?
Okay. I kind of went off on a diatribe because I thought he went six. Okay.
No, I
misread the stats. I'll take an E. All right, but still, you know, I bought into it. I'm fine with it. But either way, Braves fans, just enjoy it. Hope everybody stays healthy. Get ready for October. That's how I want to end this segment. And I guarantee I'm going to say it next week, too.
Well, they're playing for that number one spot in the playoffs, so we'll see what happens with that. So that's inning number two in the books. Braves talk, chopping on the Braves. Okay, we'll see what happens, okay? So we're going to jump right now into inning number three. Some local players still playing some baseball. There really is only two, and one was put on the injured list back on August 24th. But we're talking about, of course, against from South Effingham in the Major League show, now playing in Japan, J.B. Wendelken. Of course, Al Pesto out of Benedictine playing for the Toronto Blue Jays minor league system. He went from Florida to Dunedin to New Hampshire to Vancouver – finished out in New Hampshire, but not a bad season for this young man because, you know, he was put on the injured reserve on injured list, not reserved, placed on the 7-day injured list on August 24th. Minor league baseball season's in the playoffs, so he's done. But on the season, okay, not bad. I mean, he was called up in June, okay? He went. He had a 3-0 record, a 5.73 ERA, played in he started 13 games, okay? 25 strikeouts and only three walks. I mean, with a whip of 1.64. So not bad for coming back after what he went through and finding himself back in Major League or having a shot at Major League Baseball.
Yeah, back within playing for a Major League organization. He gets another chance with the Toronto Blue Jays. Made his way up to Double-A, pitched in the Eastern League, and found a way to get some starts. You know what? This is one of those you have nothing to lose, and I certainly hope the Toronto front office feels that way and invites him at least to spring training. Give him another shot, throw him back into Double-A and see what he can do. He's still a young man. He can still pitch.
All right, and now we go, of course, to J.B. Wendelken, who had a lot of cup of coffee in the Major League Baseball with the Diamondbacks, the Red Sox, the White Sox, Oakland. Didn't get picked up this year, so he took his show out to Japan. I mean, he's been involved in 50 games. You know that?
Yeah, he certainly has, and yeah, he's still got a sterling, 1.5 ERA. I mean, he's picked up a save. He's been a lockdown stopper. That seventh or eighth inning guy that you love to have, 51 innings, got a nice whip of 1.020. He's got 49 strikeouts versus 20 walks, and he's currently playing for a third base. Excuse me, third base. Oh, my gosh. I was about to say.
third place.
Third base. Error. He's playing for a third base ball
club. Error on the baseball.
Error. I was channeling my Abbott and Costello.
Up there on that big green scoreboard out there in Wrigley Field, the E is lighting
which
up.
Which is gorgeous.
All right,
he continues to play really good ball, and it has been a really effective reliever over in Japan, easily the second best baseball league in the world.
And they say he was up to number six in setup in the rankings for setup men. So not pretty bad. That's the guy that comes in before the your all-star closer comes in. So not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. He's been the rock. And hopefully, I mean, hey, you can make a really good living playing in Japan. And guess what? I really still believe, and I've said this over the last month as he's continued to pitch well, he might get an invite to come back with a Major League Baseball franchise and at least get a chance to go to spring training. Obviously, he spent several years with the Athletics and with the Diamondbacks.
So I'll make this quick because I know we're done with this segment. But in 49 innings pitched, okay, or is it 50 innings pitched?
51. He's got 49 games, 51 innings pitched.
And he's faced over 200 batters. He's only given up one home run.
Yeah, that's just it. He's kept the ball on the ground and still found ways to get those big strikeouts in key innings for the Bay Stars.
All right, to finish up this inning, of course, we got to talk about Savannah Bananas, the Banana World Tour. They've played 82 out of their 87 games. They played Labor Day night. They Party Animals have won three in a row. But here, on the season, the Bananas are overall 45-35-2. They've beaten the challenge teams 13 times out of 16 games. But the Party Animals are 32-33, and they got five games to go. Could the Party Animals take the season series, you think?
Yeah, it's very possible. I mean, you can certainly see that, and never thought we'd be talking about any kind of a tiebreaker between the Party Animals and the Bananas, but it does make it fun. And, of course, they've got some really fun games as their Eastern swing continues, and they did make a little sojourn over to the AAA home of the Chicago Cubs to Principal Park in Des Moines, Iowa last week, and it looked like a lot of fun. Another sellout in another AAA stadium, and it looked like a lot of fun. A lot of trick plays.
They're headed to Milwaukee Friday night at 7 o'clock. They were supposed to play the Milwaukee Milkmen, but the Milwaukee Milkmen, I don't know what minor league affiliation they play in, is in the playoffs. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Frontier League or Northern League. And of course that's an independent league, but yeah, I don't have the league offhand, but it's one of those two, I guarantee.
But they play three games in Milwaukee, one on Friday night, doubleheader on Saturday, 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock. They're really going to pack that place out. And then they come back the following week. Okay. Thursday night, not Thursday, Thursdays at Historic Grayson Stadium. This is going to be in Syracuse at the NBT Bank Stadium in Syracuse. They'll take on the Party Animals, and then they finish up the whole kit and caboodle on Saturday, September 16th at Doubleday Field in Cooperstown, New York.
I never thought I would ever say this, but the Savannah Bananas are going to be in Cooperstown. That would have been unfathomable 6 to 7 years ago. But guess what? This should be a lot of fun. That's another ESPN Plus game. And I think it's going to be neat. Of course, I'm sure they're going to leave some relics at the museum. I still have never been there, and I would love to get there at some point.
What do you mean? My daughter and her boyfriend went there this summer, and guess what merchandise, what merch they're selling in Cooperstown? And it happens to be green and yellow.
What do you got for me?
The Savannah Bananas. They're selling merchandise.
I thought that was blue and yellow.
All right. Error number four. Navy blue and yellow. I threw the green in there. I guess because they're not ripe yet. Whatever. Okay. So anyway, but they're selling.
It's still a banana.
They're still selling banana merchandise at Cooperstown. Yes, I know. And the Milwaukee Milkmen play in the American Association of Professional Baseball. Like you said, that's a league up there somewhere.
Independent ball.
Independent ball. And let's see who's in that league. All right, we got
– give me some fun names. Give me some fun names. We got a second.
Fargo Moorhead Redhawks.
That's a classic independent team there.
Why wouldn't the Milkmen play the Bananas? Because the Kansas City Monarchs.
Yes.
The Lincoln Salt Dogs. The Sioux City Explorers. The Sioux Falls Canaries. The Chicago Dogs.
Yes, that's a great stadium. And all guess right. What? You know what their mascot is? It's a big hot dog.
It's a hot dog like me. Okay. I'm a big I'm a big meatball. Okay, so we'll go there. Then we got the Clearburn Railroaders. Then we got the Grace South Shore Rail Cats. We got the Kane County Cougars, the Lake County Doghounds. Lake County used to be Cleveland Indians high single A team. Okay, and then Milwaukee Milkmen. So that's the independent, the American.
Some quality names you got there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they killed minor league baseball when they shut out those 40 cities. I know we're baseball purists. We love watching teams play different teams. But I think what the Bananas have done for these cities that lost their minor league baseball teams has brought life back to their parks. And you know what? It might not be what everybody wants. Like we know the guy that runs Barstool Sports. He's a butthole. He's got a bone to pick with Bananas. But okay, that's enough. I won't get on that soapbox. But you know what? They're making baseball fun. They're making baseball fun for a lot of people.
They're bringing people back to the ballpark, giving people an excuse to come back to the ballpark. Old ballparks that don't have teams anymore, I think that's probably my biggest takeaway. I'll leave you with that.
Hey, the guy's making money. All right, inning number three in the books. And it's not just off the baseball games. It's off the merchandise, like we were saying. So the navy blue and yellow up there in Cooperstown is getting sold there too. So
it's in Chicago. I have my best friend was going to the Cubs-Giants game today. He walked into the Baseballism store. Guess what they got? They had an entire row of Savannah Bananas merch. They're all over. And I got a picture, and my buddy Jamie just said, can you believe this? This is being sold outside of Wrigley Field. So, sorry, segue, had to throw it in there.
You got it. All right. Once again, don't forget this Saturday in the Soundgarden, okay, we're going to have the Yacht Club Band. And if you like that mellow Eagles, Jimmy Buffett, rest in peace. I do love, you know, Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville. Every time I go down to Atlanta, I got to go to Margaritaville. It's just, you know, hamburger. What is it? Cheeseburger in Paradise. I mean, some great songs about it, man. So hopefully the Yacht Club will be playing a segue or a set, as they call it in music, at Coach's Corner this Saturday night. So get your tickets. The Bulldogs play at 12 noon. So they'll definitely have time to clean the place up.
And get there early.
All right. We're going strong here. All right. We got 11 minutes to get out of here, and it's inning number four. Why is it fun now for me? Because the coach is leading 5-4 in trivia challenges. Hey, you got to love it. You got to love it. I mean, I never thought I'd be here. After the first three seasons, I was shut out. But, you know, I've been making a little headway here, so we'll go from there. I always have a theme. I don't know what he comes up with. I don't know what the Baseball Fanatic comes up with, but I got a theme tonight that, pennant races that you will love, sir.
All right. I'm excited to hear that. I'm trying to remember. Who is home and away? I forget every week. What do you got for me?
Okay. You're going to be the visitor tonight. Okay.
Okay. So I'll go first.
You'll go first. Okay. We know that the splendid splinter, which is who?
Ted Williams.
Okay. Never won a World Series ring, and he only played in the Fall Classic once. In 1946, though, they got there. Okay. No, they didn't get there. They got there when he was playing. But the Red Sox, they only made it back in 48 when they finished tied for the American League pennant in the end of the regular season. It's the first time that the Major League Baseball went to a tiebreaker. Okay. 1948. Tell me who they played. That's all you got to do is tell me who the Red Sox played in that tiebreaker. And, of course, the Bambino Jinx, they lost.
Okay, I got to go with they played, you know, in 1948. That's Bob Feller and the Cleveland Indians.
I think we might have a tie game after tonight. You are right. The Cleveland Indians, Lou Boudreau hit a two-run homer.
Lou Boudreau, heck yeah.
Okay, and Gene Bearden went the distance at the Indians advanced to the World Series. They defeated the Boston Club, and Ted Williams never got back to the World Series.
49 was nearly as close.
It was close, but they didn't get there.
Nope, they did not, but I will take that. I'll take my first run. All right. So I heard a fun stat. You know, I like to look at a hodgepodge of trivia here. So four teams
I never know where you're coming from, so go ahead.
Yeah, just because I know I'm trying to figure out places where I can find trivia that, one, you'll recognize, but two, you probably won't get. So here I go.
Go ahead.
First question. Four teams have been below 500 around the All-Star break. Four teams have found a way to make the playoffs. Can you name me the last team to do it? I'm going to give you a big clue. It happened last year. Can you name that team?
The Philadelphia Phillies.
No. Good guess. Seattle Mariners.
I pay so much attention to the National.
That's a very good guess. Well, like very said, good guess. The Phillies only won 85 games.
So much attention to the National League that I know more about the National League than I do in the American League because I'm so far.
Even though you're a Yankees fan, fair enough.
I know you're still the young dude. How long have you been in Savannah?
13 years, buddy.
I've been here 29 years, so I think almost half the years that I lived in New York. So, the Braves have got – the Braves are on the brain right now, okay?
All right. There you go, Coach. Nothing wrong with that. Go ahead.
Okay. This is for the win. You get this, we're over. Okay, and it happens to be related to who I just said, the Braves. In the 1993 NL West race between the Giants and the Braves, okay – both teams were going for 103 wins because it was the last season in which there was no wild card for second place. Okay. Who came in and led this team to the pennant? He hit 310, 19 home runs, 60 in 68 games for the Braves after acquired in a mid-July trade.
Can I ask who he was traded from?
No.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, I'll give you the team he was traded from. This is a tough one. The Padres. He was traded from the Padres to the Braves in 93.
Oh, okay. Fred McGriff.
Damn. We're tied, buddy. 5-5.
I had a really good feeling it was Crime Dog, but I wanted to see if you could give me the team. So you know what? I'll take the dub. That was a good question. Do you want to hear any of the questions I got left for you, or just, you know, move on?
Sure. We're 5 minutes under the mark. Our goal is never to go more than 45 minutes. We still got 5 minutes to play with. Go ahead, buddy.
Here's a fun Braves question. Ronald Acuna Jr. has over 60 stolen bases. Who holds the Braves' single season record for stolen bases? I'll let you know. It happened when the Braves dynasty started to begin in 1991. Think of a speedy guy that played for a number of teams, and boy, he stole 72 bags.
Man, oh, man. Who holds the record in steals for the Braves?
It's a good one.
1991. I know I probably want to – you tell me, I'm going to kick myself in the rear end.
Yeah, you're going to know this guy.
Speedy Braves in 91. You see, I hated the Braves in 91 because I was still living in New York, and, you know, I love the Yankees and the Mets. I have no clue.
You don't
clue.
Like the Mets. Otis Nixon.
Otis Nixon, yep.
I was about to say, man, that guy could run like a deer, let me tell you.
All right.
All right, so there you go. I wanted to give that to you. I just thought that was a really good question because I get a good feeling Ronald Acuna Jr. is going to break that this year. I just thought that was a fun stat. But, hey, we're all tied up on trivia, Coach.
I know. That's like kissing my sister. That ain't fun.
No, it's not. I don't even have a sister. I can't help you with that, buddy.
All right. Don't forget, the Who's on First Base baseball podcast is all part of the Coach's Corner Network. You've been listening to the Who's on First Base baseball podcast for September 6, 2023. Always a lot of fun. Don't forget, Saturday night, the Yacht Club. You like that nice, mellow music, and maybe they'll play a set related to God rest his soul. You know, nobody can hate Jimmy Buffett. I don't know how anybody can say they hate Jimmy Buffett.
Songs you know by heart. I got the chance to go to one of his shows. Obviously, my parents got to see him at Wrigley Field. He was a big sports fan. He loved the Cubs. He was a big New Orleans Saints fan because he's from Pascagoula, Mississippi. But, you know, he turned his music into an empire. And, I was really, you know, saddened to hear him go. But, hey, guess what? Come out to the Soundgarden. I guarantee you this will be probably a tribute to the great Mr. Buffett himself.
All right. And I know you got to run off because you're waiting for your fantasy football draft. You want to make sure that you're not getting – I'll make this quick. I loved it. I got the third pick in the draft this year.
Hey, that's a good pick.
It was a choice between Kelce and McCaffrey. Guess who I went with?
Oh, Travis Kelce.
No, I went with McCaffrey.
You're kidding? Really? Wow. Okay. Look, man, I got baseball on my mind all day. I was going to auto draft. And you know what? If I auto draft, I might actually win it. And you know what the name of my team is? Because I'm not clever. It's Da Bears. Because I just don't care anymore.
And you know what the name of my team is?
The Coach. I don't know.
The Rocks from East Rockaway, New York. The Rocks.
Ah, there you go. East Rockaway High School. Big old number 60. Carl DeMasi.
Fantastic Four. The Granite Man was our mascot.
Yeah, it's a good mascot. I've seen that high school picture of you, Coach.
And how about this? Do you know who's they're affiliated with? The Richmond Flying Squirrels.
Richmond Flying Squirrels? Oh, my gosh. Is that a Cleveland Indians affiliate?
Now, how about the San Francisco Giants?
Oh, wow. Never a Carolina League. There you go.
Yep, Carolina League. I got that. I mean, look at that logo.
I meant Guardians.
I
love that logo.
Minor league logos and mascots and nicknames are something special. But like we said,
I'm going to get you a Tennessee Smoking shirt. Okay. All right.
I wear that baby blue shirt. Okay. So throw with a little burnt orange in it. Don't they have that in there?
Oh, certainly not. They're a AA Cubs affiliate. But hey, we're signing off. I'll get you a hat. I'll even bring it to your house. Great show, Coach.
Once again, say a prayer for all the people in Ukraine, in this crazy world in the United States. That's why we do it. But once again, Kyle, whatever you're doing today or tonight or tomorrow, what are you going to do?
Always hit it out of the park.
And until we speak to you next week, may it be what?
Your best week ever.
You've been listening to the Coach, Carl DeMasi, and the Baseball Fanatic on the Who's on First Baseball Podcast, all presented by Coach's Corner. All food, all sports, all food, all fun since
1991.
And the three most famous words that we got to lay, or two famous words, right?
I believe that's two.
And what are you going to do? You're always going to do what?
Well, I already said hit it out of the park, but I'm going to say 2.5 words. Play ball. Actually, that is two words.
All right. Go, get out of here. Go.
I'm hungry. I'm sorry.
We're out of here. Take care. Have a good one.
Bye, coach. Take care.
25 minutes on the nose. We're out of here.